This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Phillies Backstage. I'm Tom Burgoyne, joined by John Brazier, Director of Fun and Games. John, the last podcast we recorded, we were fired up. We were on our way to the World Series. It is Monday, November, what's today, the 7th?
I don't know.
Sound about right? But the World Series.
It is the 7th. It's the 7th.
The World Series is over, and it was a heck of a run. We're going to have a good time today, you know, looking back on what we were up to. And it was electric here, obviously, for 3 days. So we have, a lot to talk about, but disappointing end.
We had a full day yesterday to basically kind of mull over, cry, yes, be depressed.
I was in the fetal position.
But, yes, but today, Monday, it's a new leaf. We are looking, we're being a fountain, not a drain, Tom.
Correct.
We're going to look back at all, because we had some great stories since our last podcast that I can't wait to tell the audience. It was a great run, and you know what? I think looking back and looking forward, looking back with all that, success we had and the way we captured the city, actually captured the nation. I think, I had friends from all over the country that weren't Phillies fans that were really into it. My daughter got really into it, and she was a kind of a casual fan. And when Alvarez had the big home run, my daughter, who's going to be soon to be 15, sent me. She's now an official Philadelphian, Tom. She sent me a long text messages that were just. really upset. Something that I would send at 14, 15 years old.
Did she throw her first F-bomb, John?
She didn't throw an F-bomb. Okay. She'd be in big trouble if she did that.
Yes.
But she basically said, she, just a very emotional. It was sad, angry, mad, just the whole deal. So, but she's fine now. But again, looking forward, is that, look, we did great, and most of the team's coming back, right? We probably going to have some changes. There's some guys that are free agents. There's some club deals that we won't renew. Who knows? I mean, I guess we'll all find out in the next month or so. And with maybe the revenue we have coming in with with everything that went on, who knows? Maybe we can be in that market for some of these big guys. There are some big names: Trey Turner and Correa and Bogarts and this and that. So Dansby Swanson, who knows? Maybe we'll get a shortstop, move Stott over to second
base.
Are
you bucking for a promotion? Do you want to be like the next GM, or you want to be Dave Dombrowski's right-hand man?
I want Dave to listen to this, and so then he goes out and gets Trey Turner, who's right. So who knows? So all good. The future looks great.
Yes.
Again, because my daughter asked me, hey, is a lot of these guys coming back? I said, actually, Charlotte, we have a lot of players coming back. The core nucleus, obviously we have Bryce Harper for a long time.
Yeah.
And we have some of the other guys, Schwarber, for a long time. So we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see.
I'm looking at now Monday. If I did this podcast yesterday, I just don't know how I'd get through it. But today, I'm a fountain, not a drain.
The sun is shining, and it is good. I think you're right about that, John. Let a day go by, and we're looking to the future. But first, before we look to the future, we went to Houston for games 1 and 2, and I've said it before, John. I said it, I think, on our last podcast. Nobody does it like the Phillies. First class all the way. Nothing we take for granted, because we know other teams don't do this. I know Houston, they sent their employees in for games 3 and 4. They came to Philadelphia. They took two separate planes. One group came to game 3.
Then they flew right out.
I think they did spend the night. And then they get them out of here, and then the next group comes in. We had 400, we had two planes chartered, 400 of our front office. Of course, the traveling party that travels with the team was already down there, and you add all those people, another 100 or so people there. But just the accommodations, the parties, there, nobody parties
well,
like the
Phillies. Well, I talked to some people in the Houston organization.
Yeah.
And I remember back, you know, back in 2009, Yankees didn't even throw a party at home in New York. Yeah. We threw the party
in
at Yankee Stadium.
That was
and I remember the Yankees fans were really, or not fans, the Yankees employees were upset that we're actually having a party on their in their stadium, right? And they didn't have one. So
I retold that story so many times when we were in Houston, like, here we go again. We're down here in Houston just taking over the town. John, do police escorts ever get old?
No, but I tell you what, you know, it was funny because my wife, Jill, traveled with us. And when we had the police escort, I don't know, your son, Andrew, was on the trip. It's the first time Jill's ever had a police escort, right? I mean, why would you have one unless you're...
Yes.
Now, we've had a couple, obviously, being part of the Phillies organization. And it's cool because obviously they clear out the path. And next thing you know, there's
buses.
No traffic.
So we had 10 buses. So, you know, you land in the airport and then to the hotel. And then the hotel to a party. And then back to the hotel. And then to the game. And then to another party.
Then to
and
the airport.
Everywhere this caravan of 10 buses went, we had... What were there, about 15 to 20 motorcycles, John, and police cars, and they would we'd get up onto the highway. They would block the highway just so we could, you know, use the on-ramp, have all 10 buses together, and just to watch to see how they would zigzag and block traffic and just give us, you know.
So when somebody asks you if there's any traffic issues in Houston, say, no way at all. The roads are all clear no matter what time.
John, I remember once, a Fanatic used to lead the Toys for Tot parade of motorcycles. Unbelievable event. I don't think they do it anymore, but they'd have anywhere between 50 and 75,000 motorcycles that would start on Delaware Avenue. You'd start, go across Spring Garden Street, and then get onto the Vine Street Expressway, head west, but then kind of U-turn, go back to University City, and wind up at Children's Hospital. And all the motorcyclists, the bikers, pretty funny, these guys and leather all carrying Barbie dolls and Christmas presents and big stuff, you know, teddy bears. But it was a sight to see. And the Fanatic would lead that on a Hummer, lead the parade of 50 to 75,000 motorcycles. And what I'm getting at is we would come up to the Vine Street Expressway, the on-ramp to get on, and the cops would be stopping the traffic right there. And I'd always make sure to look down because I'd be with the Fanatic, of course, look down and just look at that person who's just got stopped. They have no idea that they're about to see 75,000 motorcycles
right,
go
right,
by,
right.
You know, while they wait there for about an hour, you know. But that's the kind of escort that we got in Houston.
And then even we charter a flight, and right when you get on the plane, you don't even have, you pull up basically right to the the plane. They do the check right there, and then next thing you know, you're getting Kit Kats and offer like lobster, shrimp. And
they offered us Shake Shack double cheeseburgers.
Right,
okay,
right.
We figure that's dinner. That
and
was then, only the appetizer.
Yeah,
then
like, what do you want for lunch? Now, and I ordered a chicken bowl, and I wasn't even hungry, but I said,
know.
It was great.
Charter was great.
And then Houston, if listeners haven't been to Houston, it's a bigger city than Philadelphia, but not only bigger, but it's really spread out. Mm. And there's like, it almost feels like there's different downtowns, right? Yeah. When you see Philadelphia, it's one big skyline, and then you have the outer Northeast Philly, and you have Southwest Philly. There, it's like they have different downtowns, it feels like. They have like two or three downtowns and really spread out. We went to, the one night we went to an awesome place called Brennan's on the Bayou, which obviously is on the Bayou. And it's had a deck and had we had every employee there. We had Rob Thompson was there. We had some of the coaches.
It was like this fancy steakhouse,
there.
And we had a party for 500 people there.
Right.
It was crazy.
And then the next day, I went to Todd Callis. Todd Callis is Harry's son, who is a TV announcer for Houston Astros. So I went over to his house, hung out with him, watched college football. Then we went to the other place, which was the
Armadillo
Palace. Yeah. And that was very Texas barbecue. Mm. And I got to say about Texas fans and the employees, I tell you what, they were so nice and accommodating. Like even after we won game one, we were high-fiving, like they were high-fiving us as we're leaving.
Yeah.
And they're like, good luck tomorrow.
Yeah, I hated
and,
that.
And
I'm sorry.
Well, the funny thing is, I'm thinking, sitting there looking at him going, oh my gosh, you guys have no idea what you're going to get when you come to Philadelphia.
They were too nice, John. And I just wanted to hate them, and I couldn't hate them.
You couldn't,
the people
so
couldn't
nice.
Have been nicer.
And
that
I got to tell you, for a it now it's not a dome. It has a retractable roof. This and I've been to the ballpark before, but it's actually for an indoor when the roof is closed for an indoor ballpark. It's actually pretty cool. I got to say, it's you know much different from the Tropicana, know in Tampa, much different from obviously the Astrodome when it was back in.
Because those places are so big. This is kind of an intimate ballpark.
It is intimate. But there's just like anything in Texas. Yeah. There's just a lot. And the visual that you get, I mean, just there's so many different things going on that your eye catches. It's almost like too busy in a certain sense.
I call it a little gimmicky. That ballpark to me is just a little
gimmicky.
Yeah,
with the train and everything. I was waiting for the Fanatic. Every time something happens, they have the train up top. Now, the reason why they have a train is because the ballpark was built on an old train station. So they have some guy in overalls, and every time the Fanavision would go right to the guy in the overalls. So I was waiting for the Fanatic to basically.
That guy got on my nerves, by the way.
Well, I was thinking that the Fanatic then back in Philadelphia, but then Philadelphians wouldn't get it because they weren't really paying attention like we were because we were in the stadium.
Yeah.
And you're seeing the train, you know, the guy in the overalls. So, but next.
The guy in the overalls. Yeah. And he was on Fanavision more than anybody. It's like, do we really have to look at this guy every time they score a run? You know, when they moved into that ballpark, they got rid of Orbit and they went with Junction Jack, who was a rabbit, who was the conductor up there. And all he did was just sit up there and do the train thing. But now they just have a fat guy in overalls.
Well, instead of having Tommy Lasorda in a dummy, you ought to have the train conductor dummy, right? And drag it beyond your four-wheelers. But overall, Houston,
great trip.
It was a great trip. I can't thank the Phillies enough, John Middleton, the Bucks. Just a phenomenal experience.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And then we came home, John, and then we wished we had a roof because we got a rain out, game three.
Yep.
Was that a bummer or what?
It was a bummer, but the good news is we kind of had a dress rehearsal because we had, at least for me, I guess I was the one that was in charge of, I was able to get Dr. J and Bernie Perrant and Brandon Graham. So I had all three under my, I guess, purview, whatever, and I had to work logistics, and they're all coming in the same time, and I got them all in, and they're waiting. We got them into a suite. We didn't know whether there was a game or not because there was obviously the forecast of rain. But at least we kind of did the dry run because they all came back the next day.
Thank God.
Yeah, we didn't make sure. And I know Dr. J had to change his flight. But that was very cool. And actually, one of the coolest moments is that night, we were in there. I know that you are the biggest Sixers fan.
Yes.
And I said, Tom, you got to come down here. I know, I guess it was. Had the game been canceled yet?
Yes,
the game had just been canceled. So before Dr. J, I didn't know how long they're going to stay. I said, you got to get up here, and you got to meet Dr. J.
Well, yes, and I was taking care of Sherry O'Terry, the former Saturday Night Live castmate, who wound up doing a little routine with the Fanatic. She got, we got rained out that night, so she came back two nights
later.
But
you had a dress rehearsal, too, because you practiced with her.
We rehearsed.
Yeah, the Fanatic
had to rehearse with Sherry to do the perfect cheer, what she made famous with Will Ferrell. And so, it was a bummer. The game, gets rained out. I'm taking care of Sherry. I go up to her suite, and I was just about to take her to the exit. That's when you called, and, you know, listen, John, Dr. J was my all-time guy growing up.
In any sport or any celebrity.
You have no idea. I collected all his memorabilia, so I had just about every basketball card, every magazine. My whole room was just Dr. J everywhere. When I went to Drexel, I had a Dr. J shrine. You know, kids would come into my dorm room like and just be in awe, like some of the pictures I had of Doc. Biggest Doc fan ever. And I've only really met him not too many times. There was one time Gary Maddox bowling tournament in Jersey. I think that was really the one time I formally met Doc. So when you called and said, hey, you got to come. And Bernie, too, is up there.
Right. Well, plus you had a story when you were a kid about Dr. J, right? You wrote a letter to him.
Yeah, I wasn't a kid. I was an adult. I was getting ready to get married, and my brothers invited Doc to my bachelor party.
That's great.
And so he sent a very – they called it Tom's pre-wedding party. I think Doc read between the lines. It's right. Like, this sounds like a bachelor party. And he sent a very nice letter wishing Jen and my wife and I well, and I framed that letter and I had it. You know,
and
hanging.
You told Dr. J that
yeah,
story.
Yeah, I did, sure, when I got in there and was talking to the doc.
Now, I always I try to embarrass you sometimes. Not embarrass you, but I put you in situations where you're looking at me like, really, you're going to make me do this? And so I put you in a situation where I said, Doc, I said, Tom Burgoyne here does an unbelievable Dave Zinkoff impression. Now you did. We had you Sixers game at a timeout, and you did a one-on-one with some other guy, and you actually
dream come true,
and you won the Dave Zinkoff contest at the Sixers game just last year.
Yes.
So I knew I've loved. It's one of my favorite things you do when you go through the whole lineup as Dave Zinkoff of the Julius Erving era.
Yes.
And so I put you on the spot, and I had you do the lineup in front of Dr. J. So you know what? Actually, Tom, we have it on tape. So
wait, what? You're going to run this audio right now?
We are running it right now, Tom, because I think it's too good not to share. It's so good.
Right.
In fact, I was down at a wedding this weekend, and people that didn't even know who Dave Zinkoff is, because they're from all over the country,
on.
And they didn't know who you were. I said, you got to watch this. And they didn't know what they were really watching, but they were laughing hysterically. So with that, we are going to go right to the audio. Here is Tom Burgoyne doing Dave Zinkoff in front of Julius Erving.
It goes something like this. It goes, and now, your Sixers starters. First, guard. West Texas State, number 10, Mocheeks. That's the other guard, number 22, Southwest Louisiana, number 22, Andrew Tony. Center. Petersburg High School in Virginia, number 2, Moses Malone. The forward from the University of Virginia, number 8, Mark Averoni. And from the University of Massachusetts, number 6, 76, Gavin Joyce. Irving! Head coach, Billy Cunningham.
He's not done yet.
His assistant, Jack McMahon, and Manny Gokas trainer, Al Domenico. That's all I got.
Wow. Well, you know what? John, I'm glad this isn't a visual, this isn't televised, this podcast, because when I look at that video, I'm like, I make the funniest
That's
faces.
That's the best part. That's the best part, because you really got into Zink.
You have to get into it.
I don't know
it.
If Zink did that. Did Zink do that? Like, did he, like, make those, like, your head's going up and down, and your
my eyes are rolling in the back of my head.
And I love when you do the Moses Malone, you get more quiet, and you get in front from whatever high school.
I like, and when he used to introduce Mark Averoni, he was like a throwaway. And from the University of Virginia, number 2, Mark Averoni. Like, it's just like, yeah, okay. And then Julius Erving. But no, John,
And you got to say, because people can't see it, when you did Julius Erving, he's almost dancing before you're about to get to him. He's dancing like, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. And then you do it, and the look on his face is just, he gives you a big hug, he high-fives you, and it was awesome.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hey there.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And actually, one of the cool things we talked about, Jason Kelce. I don't know if you heard this. We won't show the audio. I'll just explain it. But after we had Jason Kelce with the Fanatic, right? Eagles had a game, and then after the game, they have the press conference, and they bring different people onto the press conference, and they had Jason Kelce. And one of the questions, they said, "Hey, you were over doing, you know, performing with the Fanatic after the fifth inning, and you know, did you see the electricity over there, and did that carry forward to the locker room and the Eagles?" And so he gives this great answer. "Yes, I was over there. It was awesome. I did this thing with the Fanatic." And they said, "How did it get set up?" And he said, "Well, there's a lady over at WIP, Cindy Webster, who's been trying to get me to a game. And she called me and said, would you want to come to a playoff game? You know, I can do something and then figure it out." And he said, "And there's this gentleman over the Phillies named John, can't remember his last name. And all the media are the same media that we have, yeah, right? Sure. And I've known these guys for 29 years. And you hear in the background, Brazier, Brazier, Brazier." Right? He's like, "Yeah." He goes, "And he's director of fun and games." What a great title. Like, that's the best title ever, Director of Fun and Games. He's saying this at an Eagles press conference, right? So it's absolutely hysterical. Have that on video.
We love that guy, too.
Love that guy. He's the best.
Dr. J, Jason Kelce, 1-2.
And I don't know if I mentioned this the last one. He was a lacrosse player and a hockey player. I can't picture that guy as a crease attackman in lacrosse or playing hockey on skates. So
that was our rain out. So
that was a dress rehearsal.
that was a great night. Come back for game three. I know the Fanatic was excited because, again, shooting hot dogs. He had Manny Trio, John, sitting in the passenger seat.
We've had him on our podcast before. You can go back and listen to that. But, yes, he was both of our kind of unsung favorite players growing up.
Absolutely, yeah, and he got a great reception. Yep. So it was just great to get game three under our belt, and it was a great game, too.
And just loud. Just the crowds were awesome. Nuts. Just everything was really humming along. And the first pitch, I mean, again, we finally got that first pitch. Yeah. And I know Crossing Broad, and there's a couple other news outlets that basically said it was probably the greatest first pitch ever.
For sure.
Right? Because you had Bernie, Brandon Graham, Dr. J.
And Mike Schmidt,
right?
Throwing to the 2008, which, you know, going into the playoffs, right, John, we would announce on the day of the game, or the day before, who was throwing out the first pitch, but we kept
the surprise. You got to keep a surprise element.
Is who's catching. And so when those guys came out, the 2008 guys, it just, what a great way to get the World Series started here in Philadelphia, with just having all those world champions on the
field. Those guys were excited to meet. I mean, even though they probably were too young to see Dr. J, they know all about Dr. J, and so they were excited to meet those guys. I was kind of down, you know, they all got a picture taken. And you know what the cool thing is, Tom? Before they went out, they all huddled together. Now, this is just the Bernie, Dr. J, Mike, and Brandon Graham. They all huddled together, and then they said, "Hey, guys, I think Mike Schmidt kind of took the leader, the leadership," and he said, "Hey, let's all sign balls for each other." So they all pass these balls around for their own sake. So they all have, everyone.
Cool?
Everyone has all four of those guys on the ball, which is super cool, and they loved it. But let's get to Sherry O'Terry.
Yes.
Okay, so.
Which was game four, because she couldn't make it Tuesday. So then we had her back on Wednesday. And
that first pitch, by the way, before we get to. Before we get to that, the first pitch on that game four was awesome, because you had Miles Teller, who's had been there for the whole NLCS, had been there for the whole World Series.
Yeah.
Was awesome. I know you had had him as part of your Fanatic routine. Right, and then Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Same thing. And you had Chase, and you had
Jimmy,
which was, again, phenomenal. Yeah. And Chase and Rob are friends, and they had that It's Always Sunny moment where I guess Rob had said he always wanted to have a catch with Chase Utley on the TV show.
Yeah, again, just a great way to get the fire ignited, to start the game. And just the crowd was so into it.
And then you had Sherry O'Terry. So here's my Sherry O'Terry story. So if anybody watched Saturday Night Live, I think it was the opener this year, Miles Teller was the host.
Yes.
And so he, in his monologue, he said that He grew up on Saturday Night Live, and it was a big thing in his house. In fact, you know, a lot of his, some success goes back to watching Saturday Night Live. And he said, my mom, embarrassingly enough, has a video of me dancing as a cheerleader, Sherry O'Terry's part.
Yeah.
I'm doing that. And so on Saturday Night Live, they showed the home video
right,
of Miles Teller doing Sherry O'Terry's role right. with the cheerleader. So I knew Sherry was coming back, obviously. Yep. Never told Miles that. Never told Sherry that Miles is going to be at the game, right? So it was batting practice, and I'm down there with Miles and his dad, and I said, hey, just to let you know, I'm going to introduce you to somebody who's very influential in your life, but I'm almost positive you've never met this person. Well, immediately he starts guessing, and I said, you might as well stop guessing now because you're not going to get it. So he's the whole pregame, he's really curious, right? I was waiting until Sherry texted me and said, hey, can you come get me and whatever. So next thing you know, Sherry texted me and said, hey, can you meet me out in front of the pregame radio booth? So I said, yes, I'll be there in about 10 minutes. So I grabbed Miles and his wife and his dad, and I brought him up, and I took him into our main office where Kelly sits, right?
Yep.
And I put him on a couch, and I said, I'm about to introduce you to this celebrity that is very influential in your life.
Yeah.
So I put him down on the couch, and then I went to get Sherry.
Yep.
And I get Sherry, and I didn't even tell her that she's going to meet somebody. I just said, here, come on with
me. I saw your text saying, I have a surprise for you.
Yeah, I think maybe I said yes. I said, I got a surprise for you. But I didn't say you're going to meet somebody.
Yes.
I just said, I have a surprise for you. So I walk her through the Diamond Club lobby. I go through that back door. And right when I come around the door, I see Miles on the couch. I said, Miles, meet Sherry O'Terry. Well, next thing you know, they see each other, and they had never met.
Right.
And next thing you know, and he just did this monologue not too long ago.
I'm sure Sherry gave him a big hug. Right?
Well,
she's a hugger.
Total hugger. And she was shocked. He was shocked.
I have
a video of this. And they hug. And next thing you know, for about 20 minutes, they start talking about the Saturday Night Live experience. And she was how different it was because he's really a movie guy.
Yeah.
Right. And now he's all of a sudden has to do live TV and stand up. He has to be funny. And, you know, but camera angles are different. Right. And it was fascinating to hear the inside, you know, scoop as like a just fly in the wall hearing about how they operate. So very cool. Just and then you're right. She came up into the suite where I was hanging out, into the Asher suite, and I gotta tell you, it was just an awesome.
Yeah, she had so much fun, John. I mean, she was just really appreciated she was down here, really appreciated she was part of a fifth inning skit with the Fanatic. The perfect cheer, I don't think quite worked usually, and we thought that was going to bring the Phillies a victory. It didn't quite that night, but
they played the alternative version, right? A Funky Cole Medina, was it?
But so I think it wasn't quite the perfect cheer, but she had a great time. And, it was great having her down here. Yeah.
And she, for those that don't know, she's from Upper Darby.
Right.
So
right,
she's a Philadelphia native. So, and I think she was very excited to meet the Fanatic as well.
Another funny thing happened that night, John. So the seventh inning, Fanatic had found there was a little boy who on opening day was dressed as the little mini Fanatic. He was only 2.5 years old, but he got up on the dugout and he danced. It was great. It was spontaneous. Well, the Fanatic brought him back for game four of the World Series. And the dad's like, yeah, this is going to be great. He's actually 6 months older. He's more of a ham than ever. He still fits in the costume. So the Fanatic's up on the dugout, looks over. The kid is with his dad. He's only 3 years old. And he's big smile, you know, in his Fanatic costume. He's looking at the Fanatic. But I'm with the Fanatic, and I look over and I noticed he's smiling, but it's a nervous smile, and he's clinging to his dad, like, with all his might, you know? And so I'm okay. Look over there. Now they're two outs. Fanatic's getting ready to, you know, dance with this kid at the end of the inning. Look over. He's nowhere to be found. He's gone. he amscrayed. He got so nervous that dad had to take him out, up the steps, and gone. So he did not dance with the Fanatic.
So what did the Fanatic do?
It turns out there were two guys dressed as Rocky Balboa in the front row. And very colorful. They had the robes on, you know. And so the Fanatic brought them up onto the dugout and danced to something. And they were funny. They were animated. And the crowd loved them. So it was a good fallback. But the kid just he took off. He couldn't take the pressure.
Well, it's just, again, everything I know we all, as employees, we all got hit up by people for tickets and parking and favors, this and that. And there was a lot of cool moments. We had probably about 5 months ago, at the beginning of the season, I got a letter from somebody who was deployed overseas. I think he was in Kuwait. I could be wrong. But anyway, he wanted to have his kids and his wife come to a game, and then and then we were going to FaceTime him from the field. So I brought him down, the wife and the kids, down on the field, the real small kids. And the wife basically FaceTimed his the husband.
Very cool.
Now, it was like 4 in the morning or whatever. And
yeah.
And he was like, they were getting emotional saying, because he's a huge Phillies fan. Well, he had called or emailed me before the playoffs started and said, hey, I'd love to come down to a game. Thank you for everything you did for my family. But, my family and I would like to come down to a game. Well, you know what? They came down for a World Series game, and I finally met them, and it was awesome. Wow. And they were very emotional about, the opportunity to be there with his family and everything that happened before. Mm. And then you get the celebrities, you get the, all the different. So there's just so many cool moments. And I mentioned this before in a podcast. I did a lot of bonding with my daughter. Now I might have turned her into a.
lunatic,
which I am when I
but
watch the game.
But she's not F-bombing, so that's good.
No, she's, yes, but she was, she would never really get upset when the Phillies would lose, and she was so invested, and I think a lot of kids were invested in this, that I think that's what's going to bode well, that so many people emotionally invested in the Phillies, and now we're going to have pretty much the same team. We're going to have some improvements here and there, and another year of Rob Thompson and Dave Dombrowski working his magic. So I think it's just only going to get better.
I agree. Hey, one other cool thing, too, that happened game four was we had First Lady here on top of everything else. Actually, it was funny because we were getting ready to do our fifth inning routine with Sherry, and it was the exact same time that her cars were coming down, into the service level. And so we couldn't go that way. We had totally changed where we had to go.
Because, I'm taking Sherry Oteri to the right, and she was a little nervous.
Yeah,
right? And we're taking her to the right, and all of a sudden these guys are like, oh, you can't go that way. I said, we're part of the Fanatic routine. I don't care. You can't go that way. So then they're like, I said, what about the Fanatic? Well, the Fanatic can't go the other way.
I
said,
Yeah,
we
figured it out. But she was here, for Stand Up to Cancer.
Right.
She was, of course, awesome. She was with Corey Phelan's family, I know, a good bit of the night.
Yeah, that's the Philly player, the young player that passed away.
Died of cancer, and always a powerful thing. I know baseball is great about that, and the World Series they always do that, and it's a really powerful moment. And pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool thing.
Because all the players, umpires, everybody got involved in it. Well, so it was just, again, the experience. Again, if we did this yesterday, it might be a little different.
Yeah.
But looking at it today, Monday, I think you've got to be, if you're a Phillies fan, which obviously anybody listening to this is probably a Phillies fan, you've got to be happy about what happened, right? Because it was totally out of the blue. It's almost like 93 where you just, you weren't expecting it, and they made that run, and that's why I think they captured the hearts of fans back in 93. Yeah. And this is similar. It was a team that had great comebacks, had the daycare, the young guys that did really well. You had some, turmoil in the beginning where Joe Girardi, gets let go, and you bring in Rob Thompson, and then the fans love Rob Thompson, and then they get you. We only barely squeak in to the playoffs. Then we in game one, we had an unbelievable comeback against the Cardinals in the ninth inning, and then we roll them. Then we roll the Braves and the Padres and just everybody. We captured the city. I heard from people I hadn't heard from since nursery school.
I know,
right?
It happened.
Of course, they were asking for tickets, but I heard people from nursery school.
It did feel like 2008 and that whole run all over again. And it's just nothing like it when this place is packed. And this city is behind their team. There's nothing like it. And what was cool about it, too, is they were really – it became a news story. Like, even when they were – the games, the national media, John Smoltz, and, they're like – it came up a lot. Like, this crowd is
– electric.
There's nothing like it.
And you
nothing
know what?
Like
how sick are we as Philadelphians, right, through and through, both of us, that – all you hear on the national level is, oh, the Philly fans, they're the ones that threw snowballs at Santa Claus. They're the ones that blah, 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 right?
It's just brutal.
And, I think in the past, it probably did affect us free agency-wise, because people were like, oh, the fans are brutal. But you know what? Our players, we talked about this before, but our players would talk to, whenever we have, celebrating the 93 team or celebrating the 80 team or celebrating the 83 team, those guys come back and they saw the best of, the Philly fans and they heard about it. But, until you experience it, they're not really going to fully appreciate it, understand it. Well, our players saw not just – saw that we have the best fans in the country because this place was just electric, alive. They're, you know, this, they were saying now – I think it was – I don't. Was it really true when they said
the earthquake?
Yeah, right.
No.
I know. It wasn't true. But you know, you almost believed it because
sure.
You know, because this place was rocking.
It's really great. And our players got you.
And I think it's going to bode well because I think you know again, if you're a free agent, and all of a sudden you're getting pitched to come to Philadelphia, right? Well, all of a sudden you're like, you know what? I want to be part of this. I want to play with Schwarber. I want to play with Harper. I want to play with these guys. And I want to be in front of these fans because look how much fun it was watching it in the World Series and what a home field advantage it was when the fans are just, you know, ravenous and, you know, crazy. It was awesome.
It was. Let's do it again.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Uh-oh, what are you waving over there, John? I didn't think we were doing a quiz today.
Tom, I surprised you with the quiz. I wanted to keep it consistent since we have a quiz all the time.
Well, and I can redeem myself.
And I also wanted to redeem you since you went 2-for-8. And I figured that that now that we've moved past baseball season, right, we're now in the off season. I figured there's 3 Philadelphia teams that are playing right now. So I'll give you a couple questions from the Eagles.
All right.
A couple questions from the
Flyers.
I hope
they're all based in, like, the 70s and
80s.
That's my wheelhouse.
A couple questions from the Sixers. I figured it, the election day is tomorrow, so I'm going to give you one
political
one. All and right. Then I threw in a music one because you're very good.
All right. Speaking of music, let's go with the theme song. We got a quiz. We need our theme song. Hit it, Skip.
Thanks for the visit. Let's get down to business. Now here's your chance to show how much you really know. He might get grumpy if he can't stump you with Brazier's Quiz.
All right, there it is, John. So you got it? Let's do it.
All right, 8 questions. As you know, you have to get 6 out of 8 to redeem yourself.
Okay.
Multiple choice. It's not about your life. It's about what I just mentioned.
Right.
It's Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, politics, and music.
Okay.
So I think you're going to do very well here. In fact, I think you could possibly run the table.
What?
Not to put any pressure on you.
All right. I don't know about that.
Joke. If you get this, if you get 6 out of 8,
go ahead.
I will buy you lunch today.
Oh,
how about that?
Beautiful.
Right?
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Question number 1. Here's Eagles. 2 Eagles right off the bat. Who is the all-time Eagles leader in defensive touchdowns with 5? Defensive touchdowns with 5. Is it Lito Shepard, Malcolm Jenkins, Eric Allen, or Brian Dawkins? Is it Lito Shepard, Malcolm Jenkins, Eric Allen, or Brian Dawkins?
I'll go Eric Allen.
You are 1-for-1. There you go.
Really?
All right. Who is the all-time Eagles leader in field goals made with 294? Jake Elliott, Dave Akers, Tony Franklin, Tom Dempsey.
Wait, I knew this. Go ahead. Say it again.
Jake Elliott, Dave Akers, Tony Franklin, Tom Dempsey.
Dave Akers.
Dave Akers. You are 2-for-2, not Philly's Dave Akers.
You know, name came to mind was McFadden.
Paul McFadden. Right,
yeah,
Paul McFadden.
Yeah. But,
all right,
okay.
2-for-2. Now, you are a Sixers guy. You should know all these.
Sixers!
Who is the Sixers' all-time leader in steals with 1,942? Do you even need the multiple choice?
How about that, Maurice Cheeks.
Who is the Sixers' all-time leader in personal fouls with 3,855? You want the multiple choice? Is it Dr. J, Billy Cunningham, Dolph Shays, or Hal Greer?
Dr. J.
Hal Greer.
Darn.
Hal Greer,
really?
Yeah. All right.
I just went with, like, games played.
All right. You still have room for error, right?
Yep.
All right. We're moving to the Flyers.
Okay.
Who is the Flyers' all-time leader in penalty minutes with 1,817? Is it Rick Tocchet, Dave Schultz, Paul Holmgren, or Bobby Clark?
Rick Tocchet
is correct.
Yep.
See, you are on a roll. Who is the all-time leader in game-winning goals with 61? Game-winning goals for the Flyers with 61. Brian Propp, John LeClair, Bill Barber, Rick McLeish.
Wow, I love that question.
Game-winning goals, 61.
Well, I golfed with Brian Propp, and we had the greatest time last month.
Nicest guy you'll ever meet.
Yeah. We had a great time.
Love Brian Propp. I actually got to play with Brian Propp in the Flyers alumni several times.
I want to say him,
but I am not. I'm going to go with the guy, one of the greatest Flyers of all time, Bill Barber.
John LeClair. John LeClair, 61. All right, now you have to run the table.
I do. Go ahead.
But the good news is we're getting into your wheelhouse. This is gonna
politics.
Be, this might be your toughest one. Ready? Who was the shortest president at 5'4"? 5'4", the shortest president.
That is it, one short president?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow.
He is the last one to know it's raining. All right. Martin Van Buren, Rutherford Hayes, James Monroe, James Madison. Martin Van Buren, Rutherford Hayes, James Monroe, James Madison.
I'm going James Monroe.
James Madison.
Madison.
James Madison.
And there I went. So I'm buying my own lunch today.
You're buying your own lunch. And then the last question is, I think you'll get this one.
Go ahead.
Who was the youngest Beatle? Was it Ringo, George, John, or Paul? The youngest Beatle. Come on. Ringo, George, John, or Paul?
I'm going Ringo.
It is George Harrison.
George Harrison was the youngest.
George Harrison was the youngest. Sorry about that.
Oh, I fell apart at the end.
Yeah.
I went 0 for the last three.
Yes, I'm pretty sure Paul's the oldest, John's second oldest, Ringo's third, and then George is the youngest.
All right. Well, that had nothing to do with our playoff run.
It did not. And it ended on a whimper, too. I figured I'd give you an easy music one.
All right. Well, John,
I'll keep it to Jackson Brown next time.
Please. We're gearing up for the offseason. You know, we get that schedule in July. So our promotions and entertainment group has been working on, you know, already we're slotting in what we're going to be doing in 2023 with promotions and giveaways and everything we do. But we got our work cut out for us. It's a little shorter off season, which we're thankful for. We'll be in the spring training another three and a half months or so.
Yep. And we're going to continue the podcast. So that should be good going forward.
Yep. Well, I don't know when our next one is, but it's all good. And we're going to do it, John.
We're going to do it. I'm 2023. This is going to be a good offseason because I think, again, good things are coming. We've got – it's almost like in 2007 when we got a taste of the playoffs, and then look what happened. Not saying we're going to win the World Series next year, but get a taste. These guys got a taste. They got a big taste because they got all the World Series. And then, again, we know what we need. And Dave Dombrowski, I trust, and Rob I trust, Rob Thompson. It's I think we have the nucleus of good things happening.
Beautiful. From your, how's it say?
From your lips to
God's ears, right there. Yep. We'll end on that. All right, John. Well, another great season with the podcast, and we'll see you next time, everybody, on Phillies Backstage.